Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
We welcome in Father Paul Seil. He's pastor of the St. Bernadette's Church in Orchard Park, joining us as the Catholic Church is still going through a crisis here in Buffalo in Western New York. Father Seil, thanks for joining us. I just wanted to start off by asking what your message was to people in the pews yesterday.
Well, the gospel itself yesterday was kind of based on giving up possessions. And so it was about basically about trying to simplify our lives, but also seeing how in this particular crisis that we're in the Diocese of Buffalo and in the wider church, we could react in a way that was Christ-like, Christian, and following the commands of the gospel. That was basically it. And then I did talk personally about my own dilemma decisions and what I need to do as far as going forward myself as a priest in our Diocese of Buffalo.
Father Paul Seil, are you aware of a petition drive that's been circulating among priests in the diocese calling on Bishop Malone to resign?
Well, I'm aware of it, and through social media I've seen the text of it, but I have not personally seen it, or I don't even know how to access it, to be quite honest with you. I didn't know if it was coming in email or how Father Ziliax was going to distribute it, so I'm looking for that, really.
So it still has yet to be spread throughout the diocese?
Well, I haven't seen it, and I'm really looking for it. So I would say yes. I don't know how you access it other than what I've seen on social media, as I said.
Well, whether it's from other priests or what you witnessed yesterday and over the weekend at Mass, talking with some of the parishioners, what is the mood surrounding this issue of whether or not the bishop should resign?
Well, you know, I've talked to a couple of other priests as well, friends of mine, and there are both sides of the issue are coming out in the laity, in the people of God in Western New York. You know, there are some people who support the bishop but don't think that tape recording should have been made, and then there's the majority, though, I would say, are very encouraging and prayerful towards we who are their pastors and their priests, and many people at the doors of the church yesterday said to me, hang in there, and we're praying for you guys, and we hope it's over soon. And so that was the majority of the message that I heard at the doors of the church after Mass yesterday.
You know, Father Paul, the bishop says the clergy supports him, which you just were talking about. Do your conversations with fellow priests indicate that?
Well, Susan, that's a good question. I remember last November when the bishop called us to a meeting at Infant of Prague, it seemed as though the vast majority did support him. How things have changed since then, or whether priests are able to, I don't want to say are able to speak up, because anybody can speak up if they want, but I don't know where this is all going to go as far as the clergy. But I would say this, that as far as that letter goes and signing it, asking for the resignation of the bishop, and also, as I saw it on social media, it asked for the resignation of both bishops, Bishop Malone and Bishop Groch. As far as that goes, you know, the only group that it seems to me that have not really come out with a statement are we who are the priests of the Diocese of Buffalo. And I think that when all is said and done, we've got to stand with our people more than anything. I think, too, that this past week, the release of the statement by the Movement to Restore Trust was a watermark, a benchmark, well, a watermark, I guess I should say, in this whole discussion over the handling of the abuse cases and cover up, not only with Bishop Malone, but for many decades before. So, you know, we have to stand with our people, I think, and the people are telling me, most of the people all the people I've talked to, other priests have heard different opinions, so. But all the people I've talked to have asked us to please, you know, sign this and stand up for what is right.
How surprising, then, is it for you when you hear the bishop say that he believes most of the people are behind him? It runs kind of contrary to everything that, you know, you said you've heard personally, and certainly we've heard through comments and things like that, other petitions that are public that have been going on. When you hear the bishop say that he believes everyone's supporting him, what does that tell you about his frame of mind looking at this crisis, or who's helping him get this information?
Brian, you're trying to get me in trouble here, huh?
not trying to get you in trouble, but I think a lot of people are generally curious when they hear him say things like that.
I understand what you're asking. I can't read the bishop's mind, but I would say that when he said that people support him, that was before, you know, the movement to restore trust, I believe, in the timeline. You know, now that this whole group of laity have come out and said, you know, and really, I hate to say prominent Catholics, but they are mostly prominent Catholics, leaders in this diocese. When the bishop can't go to Niagara University and can't go to Canisius College and can't show up at a dinner for Catholic Charities and doesn't have a public mass on a Sunday, that says an awful lot about, you know, a bishop is to be with his people. And if you can't be with your people, how can you continue in any way to lead? That would be what I would say. As far as his mindset, again, I have no, you know, expertise in reading someone's mindset.
So if this petition that's been circulating among diocese priests, if it reaches you, calling for the bishop to resign, you would sign it?
Well, today, yes. Yesterday, again, I was thinking, I was trying, and I wanted to see it before I said whether I'd sign this. There is a petition out there on change.org for people to sign, but this thing is not so much a petition, I understand, as a letter. It is a letter. It's addressed to the two bishops, and I think while to me the text of the letter that I've read on social media is not perfect, I think the priests, we do have to make some statement. And it seems as though that no mechanism for us really to speak as a body is emerging in any other way than what Father Ziliax has put forward. So, I would sign it, yes.
It was a similar letter that led to the resignation of the bishop in Boston when they were going through their scandal. So I'm sure that priests, including yourself, kind of understand the gravity of drafting a letter and signing it.
Nobody takes this lightly. I don't think anybody really wants to put their name out there on a letter asking for the resignation of their bishop. After all, in one sense, we do promise when we're ordained, we promise obedience and respect to the ordaining bishop. In my case, it was Bishop Head and his successors. However, there is a whole theology that says that obedience is first to God. And also, in the official homily of the church for an ordination of a priest, the bishop really refers to us as his sons. You know, there's supposed to be this fatherly, son-like relationship between priests and their bishop. But that's not happening here in Buffalo.
We're talking live with Father Paul Seil, pastor of St. Bernadette's Church in Orchard Park. Father Paul is being very candid with us this morning, talking about a letter that is circulating among priests in the diocese calling on Bishop Malone and Bishop Gross to resign. And you indicated, Father Paul, that you would sign this if it does reach you. But are you worried at all about voicing your opinion in public right now?
Well, for better or worse, I haven't been much, you know, I have not had any problem voicing my opinion publicly. At this point, you know, I'm 64 years old, you know, I'm an adult man. If I can't say what I think, you know, that's not how I was taught by my parents, and that's not how I grew up. So, you know, Susan, I don't know if you know this, but before I became a priest, I worked for 7 years as a civil servant in the Griffin administration. And if there's anything that Jimmy Griffin would say, it would be, you know, speak up. Whatever happens, if someone wants to somehow reprimand me canonically, you know, I'm willing to accept whatever, because to stay silent at this time with all of the revelations, particularly about Father Richard Bernat and his supposed molestation by a diocesan priest, and then going to the hierarchy and being told to be quiet about it. That, for me, when I heard that really, really hurt me as a priest, thinking that, you know, we can't even go to a bishop with a serious matter and get some compassion and respect. Instead, he got, according to these many stories, he got instead a command to don't speak of this or you'll never be ordained. If that's the kind of, you know, church we're in, no wonder we've got so many problems if people are bound by secrecy under threats. I mean, that's an awful, awful indictment.
I've been asking this of different people we've had on over the course of the past week, just because I am curious. As a Catholic, growing up, you know, I never really thought of the bishop at all, to be quite honest. You didn't see him every week at Mass. You didn't see, him day to day. You didn't really think about his role in the church. If the bishop were to leave tomorrow, be replaced by nobody, I mean, would that have a serious impact on the day-to-day life in the church? I mean, would people within the church really notice that much?
That's an excellent question, I think, Brian. And the answer simply is the day-to-day operations of the church would continue and go on. It's almost as if sometimes you might be better off with nothing than what we have now. I mean, truly. And I think there would be a huge sigh of relief if we could at least... This is not going to be over in my lifetime, I don't think. But on the other hand, I also believe that we've got to make a start somewhere. We've got to see hope. And right now, the people of Buffalo, the diocese, and many of the priests, I can't speak for all of them or even the majority, I don't know. But for the people, I know from what I've heard from so many people is there's just no hope anymore. And that's really a sad situation when, as we read in Scripture, the greatest things are faith, hope, and love. The greatest is love. But we can't forget hope either. You know, we need to have hope that things could change and things could get better. And those who are broken by abuse and cover-up and scandal could in some way begin to heal.
To that issue of hope that you just mentioned, I'm wondering what you're seeing in the pews, because there are, of course, people who will go to church every day or every Sunday, no matter what is going on. But then there's people who, you know, they'll go every Sunday and, you know, they're kind of hanging on there and, maybe miss a few days in a row, but come back. Have you noticed, you know, of those people who are just... you know, on the fringe, you know, don't necessarily feel the need to show up every Sunday, have been turned off by this? Have you noticed fewer and fewer of those, you know, kind of intermittent faces showing up in the wake of this?
Yes, I have. And it's a very disturbing thing as a priest to think that we're losing people. And you know, aside from the, financial too. I mean, our collections have dropped about 12% through this year, and that's a big hit for us because we're on a real tight budget. But aside from that, as I've tried to say to people, is you don't want to give because you think the money's going to go to the bishop or to the diocese and pay off abuse. Okay, don't give, but please come. Please be part of the family of the church. Let's see what we can build or rebuild or support one another together. It's like when there's a death in the family, you don't want people going off by themselves. You want to come together to the table. And that's what I would hope would be the case here as well. But I do know of people who have left the church, are leaving the church, are angry at the church, have gone to other churches, other denominations. So it's more than anything to me, it's sad because I believe in Catholicism. I believe in the Catholic Church. I believe in Christianity. And to see people depart completely is heartbreaking.
You know, Father Stile, how do you approach it week to week? Are you spreading the word of the gospel each week? And then in the back of your mind, you know what's going on in the diocese, the crisis right here?
Well, the gospel speaks to the crisis. It really does. And you can make the connections all the time. And quite frankly, there are some people, a few voices, but strong voices, who said, Father, we're sick of hearing about this. We don't want to hear about this anymore. So I try to keep them in mind so that I realize that when I'm preaching, I'm not preaching only on the crisis, but how does the gospel relate to the crisis? How do the readings relate to the crisis? And there's, you know, and there's other crises that people are going through. What I mean by that is that, yes, I'm completely, or very much focused on this, as some people are. But then there's people who are unemployed. A dear friend of mine's got pancreatic cancer. You know, you have people who are sick with diseases and all kinds of problems. People are continuing to die and be dying. People are being born. I mean, you know, there's all kinds of things going on with the church that have to continue. And despite the fact that there's this terrible crisis swirling around us, the day-to-day work of the church, the work of Christ, has got to continue.
We've heard time and time again over the course of the past week that the church is the people. The church is about the people, and the people are the church. Yet it's become, of course, in the headlines that the church is revolving around one person, the bishop. Is it your hope, and do you believe that you'll go back to the church being about the people instead of one person?
Brian, I think that that's going to take an awful long time, even if Bishop well, let's face it, first of all, he has to leave in a year and a half at the most. His retirement age comes up and there's a mandate. So there's a transition period and all of this stuff. We've gone through that before as new bishops have come and gone, you know, from Buffalo. But, yes, someday it's got to become about the people. But, you know, we have to work through this. It's not just a thing that one man goes or two men go and, oh, now everything's great. No. It's really, I think the movement to restore trust is going to be needed more than ever once we get through this crisis. And the laity, particularly, coming together, talking to priests. And one of the problems, too, with a lot of the things in the past week as far as recordings and, you know, letters and all of this stuff is that the focus is now being shifted so much away from the actual victims of abuse and of this terrible crime. And we do, you know, a lot still has to be done with those people who have been molested or hurt or crushed, and also a recognition of those people who've lost their lives, whether they've devolved into drugs and alcohol or committed suicide because they were molested by someone they trusted, a priest. So it is going to be about the people. It has to be about the people. And I think more than anything else, the groundswell of the people is what strengthens the priests and what also strengthens the church. You know, and so it will be, again, more focused on the laity, who Vatican II calls the people of God. It's about the people of God.
Father Paul, we're so glad you could join us this morning. Thank you.
So much. God bless you all.
Thank you. That's Father Paul Seil, pastor of St. Bernadette's Church in Orchard Park.
Baseball is back. Basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.